We're talking with Alice Green, who is the executive director of the Center for Law and Justice. First, Alice, why don't you just give us a brief introduction? What is the Center for Law and Justice?
That has been around for 35 years. Basically, advocates for people who are involved in some way in the criminal justice system. We see ourselves as a civil rights organization devoted to changing criminal justice system.
Now, the new report was titled Structural Racism and Public Safety in Albany, and we'll come back to that report. But this actually built on a prior report that you did in August 2019, Pathways to Reformative Change, Public Safety, Law Enforcement, and the Albany Community. So why don't we start talking a little bit about what that report was about and what were some of the key findings and points.
Okay, fine. There are a number of things going on in the Albany community that were of great concern to people. We had a new police chief in 2018. There had been a police shooting of a young man by the name of Eleazar Williams. And then in the spring of 2019, there had also been a lot of concern expressed over how the police had dealt with a situation on First Street. There was some police brutality going on, and it was caught on, video. And so the community
that was a late night party situation.
Yes, that was a late night party situation, and a number of police officers came in, and it was, as I said, it was captured on video, and the community was able to see how the police handled that, and were very disturbed about it. There are a lot of things going on, and we started getting calls at the Center for Law and Justice asking for help and to find out ways of dealing with this brutality that they were seeing. And we decided that it was time for us to do a community survey, to capture some of those concerns that the community had expressed to us, and also, look at issues around public safety. So we used this opportunity to talk to a number of people. We ended up talking to over 300 using a questionnaire to capture their feelings and attitudes. And also we provided an open-ended section in that questionnaire that would allow the community to talk more about what they thought was happening and what was causing it. So that report showed us a few things. One, the results were that the community had a great deal of distrust of the police department and the DA's office, and they had not been able to get more information about the law enforcement assisted diversion program, which was a diversion program that had come into play nearly 4 years ago to divert people and deal with racial disparity. So in terms of the comments that people made, they talked a great deal about police misconduct. They talked about racism, and of course the incidents that I think shaped a lot of the opinions was, Eleazar case was one in the First Street. So we issued that 43-page report and distributed it to key officials, including the mayor, the chief, the DA, president of the Common Council. We also made recommendations about what we should be doing to address that issue of distrust. And one of the things we found out is that these officials basically, did not pay attention to the report. They did not even acknowledge it. And we asked them in our recommendation that they not do that because we thought it was so important for them to weigh in on what was happening in the community and especially to address the issue of racial racism. And as I said, our recommendations suggested some ways of doing that. And we then asked for a response from key officials, those four key officials, meaning the mayor, actually there were five, the mayor, the police chief, the DA, head of the Common Council and also head of the Public Relations Department. As I said, it was pretty much ignored, and so we were really concerned about that and trying to find other ways of getting them to act on the recommendations or to come up with new recommendations. So it became a document that we call a living document because we made sure that the community got the document and were able to weigh in on what we had found and also to perhaps add new recommendations to what we were trying to get across to these officials. So that's what it has become, sort of a living document.
And, you know, I read that, you know, one of the perhaps objections raised by some of the public officials that even though, you know, hundreds of people have been interviewed, oh, it wasn't a scientifically valid survey. And at the Times Union, you know, wrote an editorial say, it may have not have been scientifically valid, but pretty much we've seen the same conclusions in similar studies across the country. And we certainly believe that the concerns being expressed in this report are in fact reflective of the community and that the city should take it seriously and should try to respond to it.
Yes. That's exactly what happened. We were, it's in our report. We're very upfront about it, that it was not a scientific survey. But our purpose was to capture for the community what they were thinking and feeling and what they thought that our officials should be doing about it and how they should be responding. So we never made any claims. And I think what we did was to capture what people were thinking and saying and contacting our office about. And so we made this very clear to those officials, and we were really looking for them to take some leadership and really respond to the issue of distrust and racism that the community had pointed out very strongly in that report.
So recently you came out with a follow-up report. Entitled Structural Racism and Public Safety in Albany. And, you know, maybe can you outline, you know, what were some of the things that you were calling for in the most recent report and what type of response, you know, are you looking for from, you know, key city officials?
Yeah. As I said, we see this as a living document. We were very disturbed that the key officials did not respond to our a survey and or any of the recommendations that we had made. So we felt that we had to continue to try to find ways to get them involved in dealing with these issues. So we issued the second report, and we thought that this might help to get that to get the response from these officials. And we decided that we would issue the report. We would lay out in that report some of the history of the individuals that were cited in the report. Again, the mayor, the district attorney, the president of the Common Council, and the police chief, because they had not been engaged with the community on the issues that we had gotten to before the public in the first survey. So we thought we'd try a new tactic. And that was to not only issue the report, but also send them a letter and ask them for their thoughts about the report that we had done. We asked very specific questions of each one of the officials. For instance, we asked them if they would consider a racial impact statement that would be that would accompany all of their new policies and procedures. We asked the police department to make sure that the community was aware of any of the policies that they had, such as racial profiling and any policies dealing with abuse. So, you know, that kind of thing. So each official got a set of different questions, and we were asking them to respond to all those questions that we were asking them. Because we down the road, we thought it would be important to do what sort of a report card on these officials and how they handle certain issues. And so we developed some criteria that we're using now to, you know, evaluate how they are responding, not only to the questions, but what if any other activities that they come up with to try to deal with the issue, particularly of racism, structural racism in the department, in law enforcement.
So we're talking with Dr. Alice Green, Executive Director, Center for Law and Justice. This is Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.